Brethren, I'm honored to be with you this evening. In my professional life, I associate with some very well-known and accomplished people, both astronauts and scientists. I'm a member of several scientific and government organizations as an astronaut. I've been a member of some committees that have made some rather important decisions in the space program that have involved a lot of money and a lot of people's careers. But I can honestly tell you I am more impressed to be a member of the priesthood of this church than any organization that I belong to. The other organizations are organizations of men. It's an honor to belong to them, but they'll only last a few years. The priesthood will last forever. I'm more anxious to be worthy to associate with you, brethren of the priesthood, than any group of men I have ever worked with. Just after last April conference, I was getting ready to take one of the most exciting trips that I can imagine. On April 29th, our crew rode the Space Shuttle Challenger into orbit to conduct a scientific mission that we called Space Lab 3. This was a personal thrill for me and a very impressive ride. Most of you, I'm sure, have seen the Space Shuttle lift off on television, and I can assure you it's as exciting as it looks. I was surprised how calm I felt as we strapped into our seats about 2.5 hours before liftoff. As the count moved closer and closer to launch, I allowed myself just a little bit of excitement when I heard the rumble of the main engines coming up to speed way down below me. The adrenaline flow picked up noticeably. And when I heard that incredible thunderclap of the solid rocket boosters lighting off and felt Challenger liftoff, I was as excited as a little boy going to the circus. With 7.5 million pounds of thrust pressing you into your seat with 3 times your normal weight, you pick up speed rather quickly. By the time the fuel runs out, you want to be going fast enough so that centrifugal force will keep you in orbit, and that takes 17,500 miles an hour. Traveling at that speed is quite an experience. As we went into orbit, we traveled from Cape Canaveral, which is in Florida, to north of Boston in just over 8 minutes. When you reach the proper orbital velocity, the engine shut down rather abruptly. It's very quiet. I floated up against my shoulder straps. A couple of the procedures books drifted up to the end of their tethers, and they waved in front of me like I have seen the kelp when I go scuba diving. I knew that this was zero gravity, and I just sat in my seat for a few minutes, savoring the fact that I was finally in orbit. For the next week, our crew conducted a set of 15 rather sophisticated experiments in the laboratory that was mounted in the cargo bay of the space shuttle. The ride into orbit had been an exciting trip, but the ride back out was not quite as novel because I was now a little bit used to space, but it was just as serious. When you're properly trained, you're not frightened in any sense, but you have a great respect for the tremendous energy involved and thus the inherent risk. And you're well aware that every procedure has to be performed precisely correctly. We were to land at Edwards Air Force Base just north of Los Angeles, but we started our reentry just to the northeast of the island of Madagascar. We swept down south of Australia and up across the Pacific Ocean as we came home. Now, the reentry is quite demanding. There is no way that you can carry enough fuel into orbit that you can slow down by rocket propulsion. You have just enough fuel to nudge your orbit down into the upper edge of the atmosphere, and then you do something that's really quite clever. You come into the atmosphere in the worst possible aerodynamic attitude. You come in belly first. Now, that creates a terrible aerodynamic shockwave, but the shockwave slows you down without using a drop of rocket fuel. Your kinetic energy is converted into the heat of the shockwave, which is all very clever, except the shockwave is 5,400 degrees Fahrenheit, which is well above the melting point of astronauts. Now, that's why we worry so much about the thermal tiles on the underside of the shuttle. During reentry, they glow red hot. In fact, the very air around the shuttle glows red hot. From the ground, we look exactly like a meteor crossing the sky. Looking out through the windows through that fireball is a fairly impressive experience. You realize that you're in a fiery furnace significantly hotter than the furnace prepared for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and NASA cannot guarantee you the Lord's protection that they had. In the space shuttle on which our lives depended, we had absolutely flawless performance. I am personally convinced that the Lord was watching over us. I had been promised that in a special blessing that I'd been given before liftoff, and that blessing was fulfilled in every detail, and I thank my Heavenly Father for that. Now, I'm sure that the general image of spaceflight is one of impressive machines and billowing flames and the precision of high technology, and that's not incorrect. But for me, there were also many special, personal, private feelings. Some of them were fun. Living in weightlessness is delightful. The Peter Pan ability to float to any corner of the laboratory and perch like a sparrow on any little protrusion made me feel like I was living my little boy dreams. Some of my personal feelings were very spiritual. To look down on the Earth from space is absolutely incredible. I knew ahead of time just exactly what I was going to see. I was intellectually prepared, but I was not emotionally prepared for what I saw. The world is very large. Now, I knew that, but to see this huge, magnificent sphere slowly rotating beneath me was overwhelming. I have absolutely no ability to describe what it was really like, and no photographic emulsion can even start to do it justice. The visibility, of course, is excellent, but I was amazed at the intensity of the colors. I estimated that there were 20 intense colors of blue as the atmosphere shades from the curved horizon up into that incredible void of black space. And when you look at an archipelago of islands, there are hundreds of shades of blue and green and yellow tan that are just beyond description. The first time I had a minute to stop and just look at the Earth, the absolute beauty of the scene brought tears to my eyes. Now, in weightlessness, tears don't roll quietly down your cheeks. They sit in front of your eyeballs and get bigger and bigger, and in a minute, you feel like a guppy looking up through the aquarium. Now, try to imagine what it was like for me to have that scene in front of me and then have the fragments of a half a dozen scriptures pop into my mind. From the Psalms, "The heavens declare the glory of God." If you've seen the heavens from the 88th section of the Doctrine and Covenants, you have seen God moving in His majesty and power. I'm sure you can imagine the closeness I felt to my Father in heaven as I looked down at one of His beautiful creations. I was really stirred by an increased awareness of what He did for us as the Creator of our earth. That was one of the most moving experiences of my life. Another experience that's very close to me was to have the sacrament on orbit. We were in space for a full week, so of course we were up there on a Sunday. Our bishop had given me permission to hold my own sacrament service. It was a little bit unusual. Now, you priests in the audience might consider what it's like to try to kneel down in weightlessness. You keep drifting off. Now, for privacy, I'd held my sacrament service in my sleep station, which is something like a Pullman berth. I kneeled on what you would think of as the ceiling and braced my shoulders against my sleeping bag so I wouldn't float away. But this was a very special experience. I will always remember that sacrament service and renewing my baptismal covenants high above the earth all of my life. It had that special feeling that you usually only get when you go to the temple. Shortly after the flight, I had the opportunity to show Sister Charlene Wells, our Miss America, around the Space Center. She asked me if it didn't seem uncomfortable going into space upside down. Now, I explained that in space, you always feel right side up and stationary. The earth moves below you. If somebody's head is pointing toward your feet, he's the one that's upside down. At liftoff, the earth simply rotates to a position above your head, but that's the earth's problem. Now, later at a fireside, Sister Wells made a comment about that situation that I think is very meaningful. In many things that we do, the world thinks that we are completely upside down. They think our moral values are foolish, our standards are restrictive, and our beliefs are quaint but outdated. The important thing is that we make sure that we keep ourselves right side up, aligned with the Lord, even if it makes the whole world look upside down. Now, it took me a long time, many years of preparation, to make it into orbit. I learned that important things don't come easily nor quickly. I learned that persistence pays off. I also learned you have to be prepared when the opportunity comes. I started preparing for the space program long before there was a space program. I could pass the 6-day astronaut physical examination because I had lived the word of wisdom all of my life. When they started accepting applications for the astronaut program, I had already completed my education. I already knew how to fly jet airplanes. When they ran an FBI check on me, there was nothing in the record that would disqualify me. Now, you young men of the Aaronic priesthood this evening have already started to prepare for what you will someday become. I encourage you to prepare well. Brethren, it's an honor to be with you this evening. I bear you my testimony that we're engaged in the work of the Lord. He lives. He guides his church. These brethren on this stand are his chosen servants and apostles. I bear you that testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.